Well, it's been a joy to be here this evening. What a wonderful service it's been already. Just spirit-filled singing, and to God be the glory for all that he's been doing. And I just want to thank you very much for making my wife and I feel so at home. Thank you for your kind hospitality and just your friendship. And thank you very much. God has been so good. We had a wonderful Sunday this morning. We had about 92 in attendance, and that overflow room was kind of packed out with some 10 people there. We had 4 saved, and from our praise the Lord for that. Praise God. And really, some fruit of that soul winning effort. Yesterday, we had 2 visitors that rode the bus from that soul winning effort. So we praise God for that. And thank you for your prayers and your support. God is so good. And man, I'm so excited to be here tonight. I had several folks come up to me and tell me, "Now, Brother Paul, you better preach." And so I'm just going to obey orders. So if you turn with me in your Bibles, please, tonight, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter number 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. And we'll remain seated for just a couple verses that we'll read together. 2 Kings chapter number 22, we'll read verses 1 and 2 together, if you'd be so kind. And why don't you lift your voice with me together. 2 Kings chapter number 22, beginning in verse number 1. Together, let's read it together. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. If you'll jump to chapter 23, verse 25, you'll find something very remarkable, very unique to King Josiah. It says in chapter 23, verse 25, "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him." Out of the 20 kings of Judah, only 8 of them was it said that they did that which was right, and only one of them finished well. Those 8 started right, or they got right, but they didn't stay right to the very end. And there's something about Josiah that he started well and he finished well. And I think there are a couple things we can learn from the example of King Josiah that can teach us how to finish well. I know I just got here, but I'm just thinking about the end in mind. I want to finish well. I think that's our desire, and I think with God's help we can do that. Father, we thank you so much for the example of King Josiah. What a unique testimony he has, and in spite of what was going on in his life and in his family. I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to the teaching of your word tonight. Help us to understand how we can finish well for your honor and glory. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to start off with a question tonight. How do you want to finish? The Christian life isn't just about how we begin, but how we finish. Many start well, but few finish faithfully. And that's really what matters. Not how we started. You may have started off pretty bad, but then you got right. But it's important to finish right. Josiah became king of Judah at the young age of 8 during a time of great spiritual decline. His grandfather, Manasseh, was one of the most wicked kings in Judah's history. He rebuilt the high places that had been destroyed. He erected altars to Baal. He worshiped the stars and even placed idols in the temple of God. He practiced sorcery and divination and sacrificed even his own children to idols. His reign led to Judah into deep idolatry and moral corruption, provoking the just wrath of God. In 2 Kings 2:19, we read, "But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel." What a shame that the unbelievers had a better record than the believers in this case. The nation had strayed so far from God that his word had practically been forgotten. Despite this dark legacy, Josiah stands out as an anomaly, really, among the kings of Judah, being the only one, the Bible says, who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. It's interesting that it says David, his father. Josiah is 16 generations away from King David. He's in his lineage, but it's been about maybe 350 to 400 years since King David walked the earth. Why does the author connect King Josiah to David? What was it that connected him spiritually? And what did God do to help Josiah finish well? The story of King Josiah powerfully reminds us of what can happen when we respond to the truth of Scripture. In 2 Kings 23, 25, we read it, and like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose any like him. It's not just about hearing the word, though, but about how we let it transform our lives. If you believe that, say amen. Josiah shows us that finishing well doesn't depend on our circumstances or our heritage, but on how we respond to God throughout our lives. And through the story of Josiah, we can see three essential steps that he took to ensure that he finished well in the eyes of God. These steps can guide us as we seek to finish our own spiritual journey strong and faithful. I want you to notice his first step. He discovered God's word. In 2 Kings chapter 22, notice verse 8. The Bible says the following. Now King Josiah, of course, he's getting down to business. He was only 8 years old, but now he's 18 years old and he wants to clean things up. So even as a young man, he's kind of righting all of the wrongs of his grandfather. And so he's like getting things ready and he's making sure the temple is getting fixed. And in the midst of all of that, we notice something in verse number 8. The Bible says the following. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Would you believe it? They lost their Bible. And like some Christians, right? They forgot. Where was the Bible? Lost and found. And boy, they lost his Bible. They lost it. Who knows how long they hadn't read the scriptures. Could you imagine never reading in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? Could you imagine a lifetime without Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Or how about never having heard or memorized, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They just had no Bible. Well, the Bible was there, but they lost it. They discovered it. Verse number 9, it says, and Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again. And he said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work. They have that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. He discovered God's word. I think if we're going to finish well, we need to begin by discovering the truth of God. Josiah found the book of the law, which transformed his life and his reign. Really, this moment marks a change in his life. If we want to finish well, we must start by discovering and grounding ourselves in God's word. We can't finish strong if we're not anchored in God's truth. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 2 Timothy 3:16 teaches us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and just ready to do all that God has for us. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. A preacher can't convert you, but God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit can do that. We got to discover the word if we're going to finish well. Notice that God's word was hidden, but it was preserved. He says, I found the book. It's right there. Unread. All this time. You may reject the Bible. You may say, I don't have time to read it. You may say, I just don't believe it. But whether you believe it or not or read it or not, the Bible is still the word of God. It is the truth that we need. It's the truth that sets us free. It's the bread of life that feeds our soul. It's the water of the spirit that nourishes us from the inner man. And I'm telling you, we need to discover the word once again. You say, Brother Paul, I have my Bible right here. But do you got it in here? And how much time are we really spending in the good book? Well, God's word was hidden, but it was preserved. Hilkiah the high priest found the book of the law, which had been lost or neglected for years. Though hidden, God preserved it. Reminds me of the story of Samuel. In his times, there was no open vision. There was no word from the Lord. But God had not abandoned his people. He came to Samuel, and he called him. He didn't recognize the voice. He wasn't used to it, you see. And that third time, he got some instruction to say, the next time you hear the voice of the Lord, you tell him, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Help me come with that spirit tonight. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Sometimes God's word is neglected, but it's always waiting to be rediscovered in our lives. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1, 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I want you to notice as well, the authority of the Bible was being recognized. Look at it in verse number 10. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, I've got a book and it's worth reading. It's not just any book. It's the law of the Lord. And they recognized Shaphan the scribe. He read the book of the law to King Josiah, showing a chain of reverence from the high priest to the king. They immediately recognized the authority of the word. Do we recognize the authority of the word of God in our lives? Are we willing to allow God to have the final say? Not some preacher, not some podcast, not some YouTube video, but the very word of God should be able to tell us how we ought to live. Think about William Tyndale. He was one of the first to translate the Bible into English. Despite opposition from authorities, his work helped the common man discover the Bible. Much like Josiah, think about it. There was a time where the Bible was not readily available. I've heard about times where maybe there was just one copy in the church house and it was chained to the altar. You couldn't have one for yourself. And today we have access more than ever to the word of God. How could we not recognize its authority and submit ourselves to it? He was willing to give his life for that. Just as Josiah responded immediately to the authority of God's word, we too must approach God's word with reverence. Remember 2 Timothy 3:16 says, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. It's not just any old book. God used 40 various authors, and he, in a way that only God could, honored their style and their way of writing. But make no mistake, my friends, it's inspired by God, the very breath of God. He used those men as like pens to give us his word. We have a message from the king. He's not abandoned us. We know what we ought to do. It's in the good book. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's God's word that has the power and the authority. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If you need some wisdom tonight, you can find it in the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the power and the authority of the word of God. But I want you to notice that he did not just take this step of discovering the word, because it would be a shame to stop there. And unfortunately, many do. But he took the second step. He allowed God's word to transform him. He allowed what he read to affect his heart and to change his life. Look at chapter 22, verse 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he what? He rent his clothes. This was a Hebrew tradition. It showed the agony, the remorse, repentance. There was some pain there. Sometimes when you read the Bible, it hurts. You know, if you come to church and you never, every once in a while, just start to get a little squirmy, and you start to say, I think pastor's preaching to me. I don't know. Somebody tipped him off. I think he wrote that one for me. If you don't feel like that every once in a while, either the preacher's not preaching the word, or we're just not receiving it. Because when the word of God is received, there's some disturbance there. I mean, he rent his clothes. Josiah was deeply impacted by what he discovered. He read it, and he said, this is the Word of God. And I'm not right. Sometimes we read the Bible and we really don't like what we hear. We read about forgiveness. And what do you mean? I don't want to forgive him or her. Don't you know what they did? They don't deserve it. But I guess neither did I. When you forgave me on the cross and I'm supposed to forgive others like Christ has forgiven me. I don't like it. But I've got to submit to it. I don't like talking to people. I'm an introvert. I get nervous. I blush. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. But your word says that I'm called to be a witness, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, I don't got the gift. You've got the call. We've all got the call. Sometimes we read some things that we just don't like. That's a good thing. Because when you get some uncomfortableness there, then there can be growth. Then God can stretch us and he can change us. That's really what we want. We never want to stop growing. We never want to stop changing. Now, there are some non-negotiables. I'm not changing my Bible. I'm not changing doctrine. There's only one way to heaven. And it's not a program or an institution. It's a person. His name is Jesus. You either know him or you don't. There are some non-negotiables in life. Some things that you should never change. But there are some things in our lives that ought to change. Our attitude. Our worldview. The way that we think. The way that we treat others. I shock myself. Like, what? Why was I so upset there? Why did I respond that way? You go back to the word, you start reading, and you realize, I got to rent my clothes. I need to make some changes. That's a good thing. That means that God's not finished with us. Matter of fact, he's just getting started. And if you want to finish well, you can't stop that process. Because I don't know about you, but I haven't arrived yet. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you got convicted about something from the word? And you changed something in your life because God told you? I'm trying to think, Brother Paul, but I'm pretty good. I haven't had to change anything. Everything's pretty fine, hunky-dory. I can tell you about some people that ought to change. Brother Paul, lend me that pulpit, and I'll set them straight right now. We need to preach to some people right now. What about you? When was the last time the Holy Spirit convicted you about something, and you made some sort of change? I submit to you tonight that should be normal for a Christian. I want you to notice that conviction leads to repentance. It came to pass that he heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes, and the king right away commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam of Shaphan and Achbor, and you can read all those names. There's some great baby names right there, by the way. Verse number 13, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me. We need to do something. We need to make a change. We need to ask God for forgiveness, for an opportunity, for a space of repentance. And Josiah tore his clothes upon hearing the words of the law, showing a heart grieved by sin. Charles Spurgeon tells a story of a young preacher who had a dream in which he saw a large ship sinking. And all aboard cried for help, but no one seemed to care. When he awoke, he realized this was an image of the world dying in sin. This vision so moved him that it changed his focus in preaching, turned his ministry into one of passion and urgency. He began to preach like a dying man to dying people. And like Josiah, conviction should lead us to action. Amen. When we're truly moved by the word, it propels us to repentance and change. Think about Jeremiah 6:15. It says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not all ashamed. Look at what it says. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. When was the last time your sin embarrassed you? You got embarrassed of yourself. You just said, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I just thought that. I can't believe I participated in that. It's so embarrassing. I need to get right. I need to get right. Joel 2:12 says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. That's what God wants. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. We can't lose the heart. We can't lose that heart that we have for the Lord. Conviction leads to repentance, and conviction reveals God's imminent judgment. He realized there was some judgment coming. And he understood that. There are consequences, by the way, to our carnality, our worldliness, that we're kind of okay with. Those things that maybe at an earlier time would have made us blush, but not anymore. We're used to it now. And I've heard people say, well, that's just the way I am, Brother Paul. I'm just keeping it real. Yeah, you're keeping it real dumb. Oh, Brother Paul, that's just how I am. Maybe that is the way you are. You're just okay with that, but your kids are going to suffer for it. Your family's going to have to put up with it. And you don't realize that you're affecting those around you. You're okay with you being a mess, but you forget that you're not all about you. You influence other people as well. We need to let God change us because I want to finish well. I want to finish well. So I need to let the Holy Spirit convict me. I need to be conscious of God's judgment for sin. Hebrews 10:26 says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Convictions also lead us to seek God. King Josiah, he sought the Lord in repentance, and he let God's word transform him. I want you to notice this third step. He decided to persevere in obedience. He decided to persevere in obedience. Stick by the stuff. Do what needed to be done to be faithful to the Lord. Josiah made the decision to follow God's law, and he remained faithful until the end of his life. Unlike many kings before him, he didn't waver or turn aside. And by the way, if anybody had a reason to throw in the towel, any excuse for not making it, it was King Josiah. He was just a kid when he became the king. He inherited a mess, but he sought the Lord. And God can help us too. Maybe we inherited a mess. Maybe we caused the mess. But God can transform our lives. We need to be faithful because I want to finish well. Josiah made the decision to follow God. Finishing well requires a firm decision to persevere in obedience, no matter what happens around us. It's about maintaining faithfulness throughout the journey. Now, you can't do it in your own strength. You need to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit every day, moment by moment. But you must persevere in this. Commitment to personal obedience. I see it in chapter 22 and 23 and verses number 1. I want you to notice every time it says all. As a matter of fact, can we say it out loud together every time we find the word all? Chapter 23, verse 1, it says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Hey, nobody was getting out here scot-free. I mean, he said, everybody, we're going to clean up the house. We need to get right, and we need to do what it takes. We've got to persevere. No pet sins, no secret sins, nothing hiding in the closet. We've got to deal with it all, because I want to finish well. And he did, by the grace of God, but he did what he had to do. I want you to notice his personal obedience. He made a public covenant to walk with the Lord and keep his commandments, the Bible says, with all his heart and all his soul. True spiritual growth occurs when we make a personal commitment to obey God and his word in every area of life. Have you made up your mind? I mean, they taught me growing up that you ought to finish what you start. And I decided long ago, if I'm going to be a Christian, I want to be the best Christian I can be. I want to finish well, and that's a process. I need to be in the Word. I need to let it transform me, and I need to make a commitment to persevere. I think about the life of D.L. Moody. He was transformed after a simple challenge from Henry Varley, who said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. And Moody decided to be that man. dedicating his life to following God's word in obedience. And his decision resulted in thousands coming to Christ. My friends, just like Moody, our growth requires that we make a personal, intentional decision to obey God completely. Why don't you decide tonight, I'm going to be that Christian. Joshua 24:15 challenges us. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. Psalm 119:34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, time is the best indicator of what is real, what is not. And we hear about things and we see people that you would have never thought. I want to finish well. We can't deceive ourselves. We really need to persevere to the end. I think about leadership and national reform. Josiah didn't just make a personal commitment, but he also led the nation in a revival. I can't help but think about the story of J. Frank Norris and his impact in Fort Worth, Texas. I mean, it parallels Josiah's national reform in Judah. Norris was known as the Texas Tornado. And he took over a church in a cowboy town full of saloons and houses of ill repute. The city was notorious for its lawlessness and disregard for God. Norris, undeterred, preached God's word with conviction. Over time, his leadership transformed the community, and First Baptist Church of Fort Worth became the largest church in America. His influence reached even the White House, advising President Franklin D. Roosevelt. And we have roots there. So thankful for the influence. And I just can't help but think about the influence that was had there, even in our hometown here. And I can't help but believe that God still wants to use us to make a difference, not just in Fort Worth, but around the world. I don't think he's finished. And I think he wants us to finish well. I think about Joshua 3:5, and we'll finish here. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. That excites me. I'd like to see some wonders. But we need to sanctify ourselves first. And if I want to finish well, I need to discover the word. Maybe rediscover it. I need to let it transform me. And I need to decide to persevere to the end. Father, we thank you so much for the teaching and preaching of your word. We love you, Lord. We're here because we love you. The word also says that if any man thinketh he stands, that we ought to take heed lest we fall. Lord, I know of many who started well, started strong, didn't finish well. We want to finish well. In order to do that, we need to continually allow your word to transform us. And we got to persevere in everything that you tell us to do. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. How many here today would say, Pastor Boulevard, won't you pray for me? God spoke to me through the preaching of his word tonight. How many here would raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor Paul. God spoke to me tonight through the preaching of his word. Father, I pray that you would start with me. I pray that you would continually change me and make me into the Christian that you've called me to be. Well, thank you for it. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.